Well, if you need the professional worship team with the super talented and skilled singer to get into worship, you have a worship problem. Because all you need to worship is your hands and your voice. Amen. And a right heart. That's it. Praise God. And I'm not saying that to mask what's going on over there. That's not what I'm trying to do here to get, you know. How many of you know this? It's good to be sober about who you are. I'm well aware who I am, praise God. But still, it's an opportunity for us to enter in with our hearts, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of times people with, you know, and I'm not criticizing, but a lot of times what maybe some churches are calling worship is really just emotion. And it's just to get y'all stirred up. You ought to just be able to worship God with no music. Just your mouth, praise God, and your heart and your hands. Hallelujah. So he's good to us. Hallelujah. Father, we love you so much. You're so good to us. So, so good to us. And Father, as we open your word tonight, we're so blessed to have the word around here. And Father, I thank you that you'll help me minister exactly what needs to be said and done here tonight. As I open my mouth, Father, I'm trusting you to fill it with words from heaven, words from the Holy Ghost that will help us to go to a new level. And I thank you. I'll speak with boldness and I'll speak with utterance tonight, and I'll speak as the oracles of God. And Lord, we'll be changed and you'll get the glory for it. We're going to hear exactly what we need to hear. And so, Father, I thank you for helping us tonight. Thank you for change. Thank you for hitting bullseyes in people's hearts. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Father, we thank you for impartations and revelations, encouragement, and correction if need be. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, if you go with me to Psalm 34 and verse 8, we'll start there. Psalm chapter 34 and verse 8. And in a minute, I'm going to mention what Sister Annie had talked about last week. It was awesome. Praise God. But it goes in line with what we're talking about here. But anyway, Psalms 34 and verse 8. Notice what the Lord says. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Taste and see it. Amen? Taste and see it. What's he saying? I want you to experience me. Praise God. Well, you know, if you think about it, God is your father. And you parents, you know, this mom's included, I'm just talking about parents here. Your children experience you every day, right? They experience your goodness every day. They experience your provision every day. They experience your love every day. They experience your protection every day, your kindness, your compassion every day, don't they? Yeah. Well, God wants you as his child to experience him. And that's the thing, is people need to experience God. You know, Moses had an experience with God up on the mountain. And when he came down, he was forever changed. Remember what brother, if you were in the services, I think it was last Sunday, Brother Kevin said, I think he said one bump from the Holy Ghost. Just one little touch from God, because, you know, he flung universes, just planets into existence with his words. I mean, he's so mighty and powerful, and he's so loving, and he wants you to experience him. Amen? He does. He wants you to have experiences with him. But we know that we have to be skillful with these things. If there's anything we're learning, we got to be skillful with God's word. Yeah. The days of old time religion have passed us by. They've gotten people nowhere. What do I mean? Well, just show up and go to church faithfully and everything will just be all right. Well, there's a lot of people that are showing up and going to church faithfully and everything's not all right. You know, I've not experienced him, and God wants you to experience him. But I want to show you that if you're ignorant to some things, you can miss out on experience. And we've been going here, and this is our third week, 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. I just want to point out that if you are ignorant, and how many of you know the ignorant category is not the category you want to be in? Because the Bible says they that are ignorant are destroyed. They that are ignorant are in bondage, right? Hallelujah. So we don't want to be ignorant. And if God has experiences for us, if God has opportunities for us to actually experience him. Now remember, him is healing. Him is provision. Him is favor. Him is wisdom. Him is protection. Him is everything you could ever want or need or think of. He wants you to experience him. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere or before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. Now look at this. He calls Samuel, the young boy, but he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, or Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. Go lie down. And he went and laid down. And verse 6 happens. The Lord called again, Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he answered, I did not call you, son. Go back to bed. Verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. What was happening here? He was missing out on a visitation, an experience with God, tasting and seeing. Why? Because he didn't know some things. Amen. And he said, verse 7, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed in him. And the Lord called Samuel again, third time. He arose, went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Now Eli's catching on and said, he's hearing this, but this ain't my voice, this is God. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he shall call you, that you shall say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and laid down his head. Now we know what happened again. The Lord called again, but this time, all that time went by, and this time he wasn't ignorant. Now, why didn't God the first time say, stop going to Eli, it's me? Yeah. Why doesn't God in churches where they're not teaching the word, and they're not hearing about what to do with their money, what to do in their relationships, how to raise their children, what to do about the Holy Ghost, why isn't he just yelling out from heaven, hey, dummies, that's not how I do things. No. It's our job. Jesus said, if you know the truth will set you free. It's the Christian's job to get in the know. God has already done everything he needs to do. Hasn't he? He gave us Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus. We've been raised, seated in heavenly places. He gave us a compass, a roadmap, a GPS to take us everywhere we need to go. What more does he need to do, people? And here he's calling him three times. And the only time he got it the fourth time is because somebody that was in the know showed him. Would he have kept calling a fourth, a fifth, a sixth time? I don't know. Maybe he just would have stopped. Said, oh, you're ignorant. You're destroyed. You don't get... Well, we know that he got in the know, and what happened? He had an experience with God. Well, we've been talking about how to have experiences with God because there are Christians who are God's children. Who, if they've ever even had a touch from God or experience with God, they don't know it. They're just kind of going through the motions of religion and just kind of checking off each day off the box, you know. But listen, I want an encounter with him. If he's offering it, if he says, here am I want to bless you, I want to help you, I want to be a part of your life, I want you to experience me, bring it on. I want more of that. But it doesn't just happen to everybody. And it's not God picking and choosing who it happens. It happens to the people that are in the know. It happens to the people that find out how does God work? How does God move? How do we get God on the scene? You know, I think about what Brother Hagin said in the statement that he made. He said, there's enough, because some of you know God is everywhere all the time. He's everywhere all the time. He said that, and how many of you know God's power goes where God is? Well, Brother Hagin said this, he had a revelation that there's enough power in every sick room, in every hospital across the world, enough power present from God to raise every single person up off that sick bed. But why do some people tap into the healing power of God and some people don't? Well, majority of those hospital rooms, the majority of people are ignorant to the fact that God's power's there, but then ignorant to the fact that how to tap into that power. Remember the woman with the issue of blood before you start getting all religious-minded on me. Remember her. She came in the press behind Jesus. There were multitudes touching him, and he didn't feel anything go out of him except the one touched him that knew how to cooperate with the power, which was through hunger, which was through faith, which was through pressing through, which was through not giving up, which was through confession. All that faith stuff mixed into one, that woman in Mark chapter 5. She knew how to cooperate, and the power was there. The power was present for all the multitudes thronging him, but only one made a withdrawal. The unignorant one made the withdrawal. It's true. We got to know how to experience him. How do we get these blessings? How do we get God to move in our families, in our children, in our lives, in our money, in our bodies, in our minds, in our workplaces? He doesn't just do it just because. He has a part. We have a part. Amen. And so 2 weeks ago, last week, of course, Sister Annie preached, the Durants were here, but 2 weeks ago, if you didn't recognize how amazing the prophetic office was in this church, the week before I ministered basically on what she ministered about. Yeah. Remember in the week before, go to Ephesians chapter 4, we're talking about how to experience God. Well, a lot of people don't realize this is how you're going to experience God. And when I mean experience God, this is how your money's going to change. This is how your body's going to change. This is how your kids are going to change. This is how your mind's going to change. This is how your situations are going to turn. And people don't understand that, and they just, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me. They're moaning and groaning and whining and crying, not being skillful. Listen, the children of Israel moaned and groaned. They whined and cried. They were desperate, and God kept them out of their promise. Why? They weren't skillful. They were not skillful of how to experience what God had given them, and they missed out. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, we said this, that one of the main ways that people are going to experience God is this way. And they miss it because it's not a spectacular way. It's not a what seems to be brilliant or outstanding or something fireworkish that's, wow, grabs our attention. Listen, carnal people, you got to get over that. Because many people miss the supernatural because they're looking for the spectacular. And the supernatural is not always found in the spectacular. In fact, what did the Lord say? He said, I'm not in the earthquake.
Yeah, that's right.
What's an earthquake? A spectacular thing. I'm not in the fire.
Right.
What's the fire? Spectacular. But I'm in the still small voice. God, supernatural God, is in something very ordinary and normal. But it was supernatural. Amen. And this is one of the main ways people experience God. I can say for myself, my world changed when I got revelation of this, took advantage of it, and started living it. And my world is still changing because of it. But many people miss out on this. Well, what is it? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, he says, and he gave Jesus. Now in verse 8, he talked about giving gifts to men. Now verse 11, he's going to tell you what those gifts are. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. He said, some of my people are gonna walk in these roles. The office of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. He says, my people are going to walk in these roles. Why are you given these? Because each of these gifts come with different anointings, equipment, or mantles on them to do what? Well, the Bible tells us. What are these gifts for? Verse 11, for the perfecting. You know what that word perfecting means? Equipping or complete furnishing. Of the saints. What's he saying? My people are unperfected. My people are not fully equipped. They're not fully furnished. I need my people being fully equipped and fully furnished. I love my children, and when they're ill-equipped, it shows up. Remember I said if Caleb and Abby started playing hockey, and I sent one of them with the full equipment and sent the other one with no equipment, they're going to come back feeling different. They're going to come back looking different. The one that had the full equipment, fully furnished, is going to be way more blessed out on that ice rink. And the Christian that goes forth in the world and is fully equipped and fully furnished and is perfected, their life looks different than others. And he said, the perfecting of the saints. Now why? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in unity of the faith into the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? Verse 14. that we henceforth or from now on with these gifts that he put in our lives, we would be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. What's he saying? Without the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, without availing yourself to those gifts, you're tossed to and fro. Every little wind of doctrine that comes through. And remember, what doctrine is important because it's the truth that sets you free. It's not just any old saying, it's the truth. And so we talked about 2 weeks ago about these, one of the ways to experience God is through men and women that are called to these offices. Right? See, some of you had a God encounter this week. And God didn't show up in South Dayton off the throne. He was there, don't misunderstand me. Jesus didn't come in. But you know who did? His people. That were filled with him. Right? And you got a touch from them. You had a word from them. You were sitting there and something was said to you, and God used a person to get you to a new level. He perfected some things in you. He equipped you with some things that you can't get just expecting, well, Jesus is just going to do it. No, this is how Jesus does it. Amen. Amen. And so we saw that. But also, the main thing that I talked about, because you want to keep the main thing. In Matthew chapter 9, what did Jesus say? He said, the people are scattered and faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless, because they're like sheep without a shepherd or sheep without a pastor. So out of the five gifts there, apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, and teacher, the number one gift that the sheep needs in their life, you need them all, but the number one gift, the only one, he didn't say you're scattered and faint without an apostle, without a teacher, without an evangelist, without an apostle. He said without a shepherd. And we talked about that and we hammered that people don't realize that having a shepherd that feeds them the word is absolutely crucial and vital. Now the Lord led me to preach this series because in this church, I'm telling you, there's a lack of revelation. I'm not saying with everybody. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying every single person. But there are people within our church, in this church, that's a part of this church, whether they're here or not tonight, that are part of this church, their lives should look different. But they don't because they have not gotten this revelation. Go back to verse 11, Kim Lai. They don't have that revelation. And Jesus said, until you get a pastor and avail yourself to that feeding. Remember, Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep. It's the most important thing you can do, Peter. Feed my sheep. That's what the shepherd's job is to do. Feed the sheep. The word gets you to a higher level. Until people receive that, their lives stay the same, scattered and faint. And I know people that I've tried to tell for years and years. It's not going to change until you do this, until you avail yourselves. And so then the prophet comes in. I told you she stood in that office. Does she ask me what I've been preaching about? Nope. Did she ask me, what did I share last week? No, I don't tell them anything when they come in. And she comes in, and what does she say? She says, God wants you to have adventures in him. Remember she used that word? She used the word experiences. I thought, Holy Ghost, you are so good. Because this isn't a magnify Mike Anderson message. Because Mike Anderson without the anointing of the pastor is just Mike Anderson. A very unimpressive human being who really was nothing without the Lord. But it's a magnifying of God's ways. And what did she preach on? How important, remember she said, scattered without the internet. Remember she said, and she talked about all the self-help culture. Oh, I can do it myself. And I run at that all the time as a pastor. People say, you hear it all the time. It's one of the biggest lies of the devil. Well, I don't have to go to church. Well, I don't have to go to church to know God. You can know God and not go to church. You can go to heaven and not go to church. But you can never walk into the fullness of being obedient to him and the fullness of the blessings that he has for you without a church that has a pastor. I should say a Bible teaching pastor, because there's a lot of churches that have pastors. They're not Bible teaching pastors, and you need to qualify that. Amen? Because how many of you know not every church is created the same? Not every pastor is created the same. That's not me being down on them. But this is not something you just decide to do. I'll be a plumber or a pastor. Plumber, pastor. I think I'll be a pastor. No, it's a God-called thing. And when those people that stand in that office, they'll actually have equipment, anointings, and mantles on their life to help people. But she came in and preached that. And I thought, thank you, Lord. Again, not because we're magnifying me. We're not talking about me. We're talking about the gift. And I'm telling you, there are people that should be here, that are not here, that are within our churches, that they don't have this revelation, and they just continue year after year. Life stays the same. And God doesn't want that. A pastor can help you get adventures in God, experiences in God that you could never... Why? The shepherd, there's no other voice given in a sheep's life like the shepherd. The shepherd can keep you from being dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless, scattered, and faint. No other gift can do that, but the shepherd can. I've watched my shepherd get me into things that I never could have got into without him. I've watched the shepherd pull me out of things, supernaturally, of things I couldn't get out of myself. Amen. So I encourage you, you know, she said, I get it, you know, things come up for people and stuff, but God wants us to walk fully in what he has for us, but we got to do it his way. If people think they're going to get it by staying home and availing themselves to the shepherd once a month, a couple times out of a couple months, they're wrong, they're mistaken themselves. It's a feeding. Doesn't mean you don't ever miss or can't miss. Don't misunderstand me. Thank God for live stream. But that's what we looked at that last week. But I want to take it a step further now because this is the only way you experience God. It's one of the main ways. Hallelujah. It's one of the main ways. Go with me to Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. Everybody doing okay tonight? Praise God. We're blessed, aren't we? This water makes me feel fancy. Fiji. We're from the islands. Oh, yes. I can tell. That's sarcasm. They duped me. That bottle duped me. It got me. But it makes me feel good. Praise God. Actually, to tell you the truth, not all bottled water are created the same either. You should look at the pH levels. Sometimes. Some are very acidic, some are very alkaline, some are right in the middle. See what the shepherd can do for you? You didn't even know all these things. You're just drinking acid all day long. You better check. Better check. Praise God. That one's like about even, so we're good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What's going on up here? We took a wrong turn. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. Now look at this. How else can we experience God? The sower sows the word. Now, this is what I want you to see here. Because of time's sake, I'm just going to drop down to verse 20, Kim Lai. But when he talks about sowing the word, he likens the word of God to seed. And he talks about seed that falls on different kinds of ground. Right? He talks about seed that falls on the wayside ground, seed that falls on the stony ground, seed that falls on the thorny ground. And he talks about how that kind of seed, if you think about it naturally, if you were planting seed and you threw some on the wayside, didn't hit the garden, threw some on the stony ground, didn't hit the garden, threw some on the thorny ground, that seed's not going to do very much, even though the potential is there, right? But there's a fourth type of ground, and that's what we're going to look at, verse 20. It says, these are they which are sown on good ground. Now, he's likening the word of God to seed, and the ground is you. The ground is your heart. Remember what Pastor Mike always says when he preaches about this? You are a piece of dirt. You are, but you're good ground, right? We're spiritual ground is what I'm saying. I say that to be sarcastic, but we are. We're spiritual ground. The word is a spirit seed sown us. Now look what it says in verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground. So he mentioned all the other ground, but now he says there's a good ground. And look at what that seed can do. Such as hear the word and receive it. It's important you see that, and receive it. And look at this. That word or that seed causes that person to bring forth. What's that mean? What wasn't there is now there. That the seed, if you think about it, the seed that goes into your garden out back, if you planted some tomato seeds, right? There was no tomatoes there, but you put the seeds in and it brought forth, if it was in the good ground, it brought forth the tomatoes, right? Well, that's what it's saying here, that the seed of the word brings forth fruit. And look at the fruit that it brings forth, depending on the ground. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold increase, and some 100-fold increase. My point is this. The Bible's telling us that the Word can translate into change in your life. Now, and it goes along with what I talked about 2 weeks ago, because what does the shepherd do? The shepherd sows the Word. And that Word is seed. And in that Word that your shepherd is sowing, in that seed has the potential to change your life in a 30-fold way, in a 60-fold way, in a 100-fold way. What are we trying to say to you? The power is in the seed. Okay? The power is in the seed. But now, okay, Pastor Mike, well, how does that cause me to experience God? Well, notice it says here, they that are sown on good ground, they hear the Word, and they receive it. So if you put yourself in a position to hear it, that's number one. That's where people struggle right there. But not only hearing the Word, because we know it can't just be hearing the Word, because all the rest of the ground heard the Word. The wayside ground heard the Word. The stony ground and the thorny ground heard the Word, but that didn't produce anything. Why? They didn't receive it. The ground was hard. The ground was wrong. So evidently the good ground is receiving ground. And so how do we receive the Word? Go with me to James chapter 1 and verse 21. James chapter 1 and verse 21. I'm teaching you how to experience God. See, people are just crying out to Him. Oh, Lord, swoop in. Do it, Lord. He's saying, I already told you how to do it. If you just cooperate with me, you'll experience me. You'll experience me. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Remember what Sister Annie said, if you just get people to be faithful? She talked about it in a year's time. I always tell people this. If you'll get faithful and sit under a Bible-teaching shepherd, in 3 months you'll notice a difference in your life. You'll notice a difference in your life. In 6 months you'll notice more, 9 months you'll notice more, in a year you'll notice more. You just will. Not because of the shepherd, because of what the shepherd's sowing. The Word. The Word. The Word. The Word. I've had people get downright mad at me. I've had people that have struggled mightily with addictions, and they sit down with me. How do I get free of this? I say, I don't have a magic wand or a magic pill, but what I do have is the power of God, and it's about the only thing that can change your life right now, because you've tried everything else. You've tried counseling, you've tried this, you've tried that. It's not working for you. You need a supernatural power. And I'll lead them to Jesus, then they'll get saved, they'll still be addicted. I say, well, there's a part two to this. And the part two to getting free of this is you need a shepherd. Because without the shepherd, you're always going to be scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless, sheep without a shepherd. I can't fix that. So I say, just come to church. Just come to church. That's all I want you to do. Just come to church. Well, I know if I can get them in church, I can water them with the Word. Even if they're bad ground at first, at least I'm getting watering them, breaking up that ground. Keep breaking up that ground. And I said, just come to church. Just come to church. And they don't come to church. And I remember meeting with one person 3 separate times at 6-month periods, and they're struggling so bad, the addiction got so much worse. They're not even showering anymore. They're not even, I mean, their life went down the tubes. And I sat there, I said, I can't help you until you come to church. That's God's order. Come to church. You need a shepherd. Now, I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for people. I have a lot of sympathy for people. I don't have a lot of sympathy for people that try to get blessed above what the master plan is to getting blessed. Because a lot of people want to use their conditions and their problems as excuses, and I can't go with that, because the woman with the issue of blood had more excuses and more reason to stay home than most everybody that talks to me. She was a social outcast. She'd been sick for 12 years. She was unclean. She was not allowed to be in public. It was against the law to touch people, but she managed to know, I need to be there. And see, the devil will just bombard people. And I had one person tell me, I get so nervous, and I'm not denying it. And I get so anxious with people. I said, you know about time I start preaching? Just come in for the preaching. During the salvation call, leave. You don't even have to talk to anybody. Just sit in the Word. I need you in the Word. Why? This is God's formula. You got to go where the anointing is. And staying at home and listening to the devil of how bad... See, first of all, a Christian that stays at home and lets their problems override them, they're a Christian that just doesn't have a revelation, probably because they don't have a shepherd, of who they are in Christ. Because when you know who you are in Christ, ain't nothing got the better of you. But don't misunderstand me. I understand depression and all those things, but I try to tell... There's one gentleman I was dealing with. I just couldn't get him to come to service. If I could just pray it away, I'd pray it away. If I could just lay my hands on a situation and all be done. But that's not how it works. Until someone avails themselves to a shepherd, it'll be the same thing over and over. And please don't misunderstand me and say, well, Pastor Mike, you don't understand someone's situation. No, I do understand. But I also understand in the Word, sometimes you got to step out. Sometimes you got to do a thing that's uncomfortable. We see it all over the Word. What about the... Oh, we'll look at her in a little bit, and maybe we'll bring that up, the woman in 1 Kings 17. But anyways, where did I say to go? James chapter 1. You got to get in the Word. You got to get under the Word. You got to get under the Word. You got to get under the Word. The shepherd can get you out of things. The shepherd can get you out of things. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Remember, you got to hear it and receive it. Well, how do you receive the Word? Well, it tells us here. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save or rescue your souls. Well, it's already talking to born-again people. It's talking about transforming your life. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind or your soul. That's what that is talking about. How do you renew or transform your mind, to renew your mind? You receive with meekness the engrafted word. It's able to save that thing that needs to be transformed. But we know it can't just be hearing it, because the Bible says you have to hear it and receive it. So what does it mean to receive the with meekness and engrafted word? It can't just mean to sit in the seats. It goes on to tell us, what does that mean? Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. What was wrong with the wayside, the stony and the thorny? They were hearers, but that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to experience God, it's so simple. Yeah. Do His Word. Yeah. When you do the Word, you are activating the power that's in that seed. And when the Word falls on you through the hearing, the doing is what waters it and activates it to work. It can't be the hearing or the wayside, the stony and the thorny would have got something, but they didn't. But in the good ground, they heard and received. And we find out what receiving is. It's hearing and doing. When you do the word, that seed's activated. And guess what happens? All of a sudden, 30-fold. 60 produces. 100 produces. And what is the 30, the 60, 100? It's the fruit of what God wants you to receive. The fruit of healing, the fruit of prosperity, the fruit of joy, the fruit of victory, the fruit of the wisdom, the fruit of favor, the fruit of all these blessings coming forth in your life. How? When you do the Word. Amen. When you do the Word. I tell people, you want your life to change? I'll give you a 3-step process that will change the majority of your life. Amen. Number one, get born again. That puts you in the family. Number two, get a pastor that teaches the Bible. That's number two. And number three, just do the word you hear your pastor preach. That's it. I'm telling you, as a shepherd, I've only been at this 9 years, so I know people have been at it longer. If I could get people to just do those 3 steps, the majority of their issues and problems would go away. Why? The power of the word would be activated in their life, and fruit would start being coming forward. Amen. Hallelujah. Got to hear it and do it. Wait a minute, that doesn't seem very spectacular, I know. It's not very spectacular in the sense of just do the word. Yeah, but when you're doing the word is the power. The word has the fruit-producing ability in it, the potential. And just falling on your hearing ears, doing nothing with it, doesn't activate that seed. Praise God. I want to show you examples in the Word of God's desire for his people to experience him, but it didn't happen. Because how many of you know he's in heaven wanting you to experience him? He wants you. You know, the way I can think of it is like this. As a parent, it's important to keep your word. Because I see all the time, I'll be in line at Walmart and I'll hear parents say something to their children, stop doing this or this will happen. And then they don't stick to it. And their kid knows, what a joke. Kids are smart. They pick up on that stuff. Well, I want my children to know that they can trust Daddy and they can believe what I say, but also when Daddy speaks something correction or you know, puts an ultimatum on something, I'm not messing around. This would be like this, you know, walking into, I'll just use this example. Caleb had a little iPad thing he plays, loves it, plays his games on there and draws, takes pictures, do all sorts of fun things, you know, and his room got out of control. I walked and said, not in my home, Sonny Boy. He likes what I call him, Sonny Boy and Sonny Biscuit. He likes what I call him, Sonny Biscuit. I said, not in my house, buddy. I said, you got till this amount of time, or that iPad's gone for a week. His eyes. You know the emoji where the eyes get big? That was Caleb. I said, you know, just over the course of time, you know, it got messy. I said, hey, how we live? No, that's out of order, son. Clean that room, or that iPad's gone. Well, here's the thing. If he does my word, he gets the fruit of that blessing of that iPad. If he doesn't do it, didn't Jesus say, they that hear my word and don't do it are like they that built their house on the sand? Yeah. Storms came, floods rose, water beat against the house, and it fell. But the ones that did my word, they built their house on the rock. That's Matthew chapter 7, around verse 24, if you need that reference. He said, the storms come for them, but they're blessed. Stands. Well, it wasn't up to him. Listen, Caleb, it's your choice. You want your iPad? It ain't up to Daddy. It's up to what you do with what I said. Yeah, good. Amen. Amen. I don't want to take his iPad away. Yeah. I don't want to make my kids miss out on the playground. Yeah. I don't want to have my kids go to bed early. But their role is obey what Daddy says. God wants to shower you with blessings. God wants to shower you with the fruit of the word and all my promises are yes and amen. He's a God who just desires to bless you. In fact, the word says he's looking to pounce on you with blessing. Yeah. Amen. And so I want to show you in the word examples of God wanting to bless people, but it didn't happen until they activated the seed. Go to John chapter 2 and verse 1. Getting anything tonight? Amen. John chapter 2 and verse 1. Praise the Lord. Everybody comfortable temperature-wise? We're good in here? Yeah. Everybody good? Okay. I'm getting a little hot up here, but you're not doing what I'm doing. Jumping around like a crazy guy. So I had to check in with you. Don't want to freeze you out. John chapter 2 and verse 1. Glory to God. And then the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they had wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, I better not talk that way to my mom. Oh, man, it was different times, you know, different times. Woman, what have I to do with you? My hour's not yet come. His mother, being spiritual as she was, picked up on it. He said, my hour's not yet come. She knows something's about to break free here. Something's about to break loose. How do we know she knew? Because he just got done saying, it's not my time yet, but she knew his time's getting close. That's why I believe she said something to him in the first place. She's starting to sense some things. She's a spiritual lady. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, just do it. Well, why? What do we know now? That when you, what he says is going to activate hearing, because you're going to hear it. But then he says, whatever he says, whatever you hear, do it. Why? Because in the doing is the activation. Without the doing, there's no activation. Whatever he says, do it. And there were set, verse 6, 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. Now remember, they need wine. But Jesus said, fill it with water. Remember what Mary warned him? Whatever he says, because what's she saying? He might say something crazy. He might say something that doesn't make sense to you. He might say something that rubs your flesh the wrong way. He might say something that makes you uncomfortable. But whatever he says, there's power in what he says. And to get the blessing of that seed, you got to do what he says. Well, we know, long story short, what'd they do? And it wasn't easy because they had to go out. It wasn't like they went to the faucet. And you study how big those things were. They were heavy. They needed people to carry those things, walk all the way to the well, draw that out, bring it back, bring water back. And they've got to be thinking the whole time, are we stupid? What are we doing here? Imagine what their flesh was saying and their mind were saying. But they did it. And what happened? It activated it. And guess what? They got the best wine, didn't they? Well, there was, I don't have time to get into the whole alcohol thing. Don't get me started tonight. None of you need to hear that tonight. I know in my heart. But if you have questions about that stuff, you should come and see me, because this is not the Christian's license to be to get drunk and things. It's just not. And anyways, moving on. Praise God. God, the whole time, wanted to do something. Right? What if they'd have said, I'm sorry, we're not going to get water. That's the craziest thing we've ever heard of. Guess what they would have had? No more wine. Yeah. Do you know that God will let you, he'll allow you to be sick your whole life? Yeah. Doesn't mean he wants it. He'll allow you to be sick. God will allow you to be broke and in lack your whole life. I know Christians that love him with all their heart, and they've been broke their whole life. And they're going to heaven, and God lets them. God will let you be troubled mentally your whole life. Now, don't misunderstand letting you do something for wanting it to happen to you. It's not the same thing. This day I've set before you blessing and cursing, life, death. Choose life. Your choice, he says. Buddy, you don't have to have that iPad. I'll let you not have it for a whole week. I don't want you to not have it for a whole week, but I'll let you do it. Yeah. Jesus wasn't going to force him to go do it. No. It's available to you if you want it, though. 1 Kings 17, verse 8. We're just showing you some things here. 1 Kings 17, I know you've heard these things before, but it's worth seeing, because, you know, when you think about people, well, I'll get to some specific examples when we close. I don't want to get ahead of myself. The word of the Lord came to him, Elijah, saying, 1 Kings 17:9, arise and get to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, dwell there. Behold, I command a widow woman there to sustain you. So he's only doing what God's telling him to do. So he arose, went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. He called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. As she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord God lives, I don't have a cake, but a handful of meal and a barrel, a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. From her perspective, it's her last meal. We know it wasn't her last meal, because it turned into a lot more. But from her perspective, that's all she's got. That's it. One meal left. And Elijah said unto her, well, she says, you know, a little oil and a cruse that I may dress it for me and my son, that we may die. Verse 12 said, she said, I got one meal left. We're going to die after we eat it. Elijah said unto her, fear not. And do as you said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me. And after, make one for me and my son, for you and your son. Now think about this. Elijah's not saying anything to her on his own accord. God told him, there's a woman, she's got your provision. So when Elijah says to her, make me food, it's as good as God saying, make me food. It's the word of the Lord, right? Well, we know something, that when God speaks, it's not the hearing. It's the doing of that word from God that has the power, that activates, that can bring forth some things. What I love about this, and getting back to what I talked about, because I've dealt with some people, they just will not go to church and get a pastor, and nothing changes. They have little roller coasters, and sometimes they get a little slapped over blessing, but for the most part, nothing changes. I've dealt with lots of people. It breaks my heart. I don't glory in this or revel in this. I'm like, this is wonderful. And a lot of them, they make excuses why I can't be there. This woman is desperate. In her mind, life or death situation with a little child. And you know what the prophet says to her? I understand why you might not be able to do what God said to do. And I'm supposed to say to people, I understand why you don't go to church. Even though Jesus said, if you don't go to church, this is what your life's going to look like without a pastor. I love that the prophet was so bold in knowing that if they could get him to do the word. See, that's why I tell the people, don't come for fellowship time. Come when I'm preaching, leave before I'm done. Just get in the word. Just get in the word. Just get in the word. The power of the word, getting a seed in them, can change them. Praise God. I love that the prophet didn't back off knowing God's way is the right way. He didn't back off it. In fact, he told her, don't you be afraid. Stop with your fear. She had every reason in the world to make excuse after excuse of why she couldn't do what he just said to do. But he said, stop being afraid. Just do what I said. For thus saith the Lord, the barrel of meal, verse 14, shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house ate many days. What happened? Things came forth. Things came forth. Yes, I received that, Father. The Lord's dealing with me about something right now. Let's just make adjustments. Praise God. The devil's a liar. And the devil will throw every scenario and everything in your way to get you to not do the word of God. And he'll tell you all sorts of imaginations. Try to get you in a stronghold. Why? Because the power to bring things forth is in the doing of the word. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Well, what happened? Things were brought forth. Things were brought forth when she did what? After she did the word. It wasn't in the hearing. The hearing opened the door. It was in the doing that activated that seed. And we'll go to one more here. Genesis chapter 22. We won't read the whole story. Genesis 22. Praise God. Genesis 22 and verse 1. I'll start here, but we'll skip down to the end. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham, he said, here I am. And he said, now remember, what is the word? It's the power-packed seed that has the potential to bring things forth that weren't there. So when God opens his mouth, it's opportunity for increase. Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and get into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon which of the mountains which I will tell you of. That's uncomfortable. That don't make sense. That doesn't fit into the plan. That doesn't seem convenient. Power's in the doing. See, this is why, when I say little respect, it sounds, that's not the right way of saying it. I have compassion and I have apathy towards people that are struggling, but I also know, I've also sat across from people that are in this very room and that were going through hell on earth. And I had to say, that is the wrong thing to do. And everything that would have been comfortable to have said, for them to not have to do what they have to do and say, that's wrong, the right way will bring you out of that. And they stepped over the boundaries of feelings and anxiety and fear and just did the word and they saw the results. When people sit across from me and make excuse after excuse, I can't just sit there and say, okay, I get it, I get it, I get it, because the prophet didn't. And if Abraham would have said, but God, that's my only son, God would have said, I already spoke. But Jesus, we don't need water. Jesus, I told you what to do. Either do it or don't do it. It's up to you. I told you what to do, woman. Give me a meal. Feed me. I told you what to do. It's up to you. And Abraham and that woman had every reason to doubt and to be fearful and to not do what the word said. And guess what? Had the woman not done what the word said, she'd had one meal left and she'd have died. Had they not done what Jesus did, there would have been no one. And had Abraham not done what God said under the circumstances, look what it turned out in verse 15. An angel of the Lord called out to Abraham in heaven a second time. Of course, Abraham was getting ready to stab his son. Angel came out, said, don't do it. There's a ram. The ram will be the sacrifice. You're not killing your son today. The angel of the Lord called Abraham out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord. So now the Lord's going to speak on what Abraham did. Well, remember what happens when you do the word. It's a seed that brings forth fruit. Well, God spoke. That's the seed. Abraham did it. That activated. So guess what has to happen? Something has to come forth from that. He says, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, exactly what I told you to do, that in blessing I will bless you. Remember when Brother Kevin talked about how the one minister had the church, had the people into his church? For those of you who didn't hear, I need to repeat this. He had the people in his church, guest ministers in, and when you have guest ministers in, it's not cheap for the church. You pay for their travel, you pray for all their meals, you pray for their expenses, and when ministers come in, I give them a big fat offering before they even step foot in the pulpit. In fact, when I went to meet them on Saturday for lunch, I gave them an envelope with an offering in it, and they said, wow, this is before we even did anything. I said, no, that's just for the whole meetings. I was joking around, like my sarcasm comes out. I said, no, that's for before. That's before you do anything. We're just glad you're here and honored that you would come. Amen. And they're not cheap to put on. And then I was so wiped out last week because of where I live. I'm driving to Fredonia, take them to lunch every day, spending a couple hours with them, driving all the way home, changing, going all the way to South Dayton, staying late at night to entertain with the meals, drive all the way back home. I did this day after day after day. It's not an easy thing for a church to do. And this minister had guest ministers in, and he's paying for everything, and he had a bunch of pastors that came to his church for these meetings, and these ministers are calling out these pastors, and they're giving them specific words, and they're speaking words to them. And he comes over to the host pastor and just says, be blessed! That's what the Lord said to do. And the pastor fell out, and the pastor's laying there, and he's thinking, my goodness, I pay for all these meetings. And these ministers just come, don't have to pay for anything. They just come and hear the word, don't have to go through all the stuff I have to go through. And they're getting all these words, and I get be blessed, and he's complaining about be blessed. And the Holy Ghost said, you must not understand or know what my blessing entails. When you have the blessing of the Lord on your life, everything changes. Your kids, your money, your body, your job, your everything. And so he says to Abraham, I, God, am going to bless you. There's nobody else that can bless him any more than God can. Blessing, I will bless you from God. God says, my blessing. Multiplying, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore. And your seed, now think about this with your children, shall possess the gate of their enemies. Wow, the dominoes that fell from one activation. And in you shall your seed and all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now look at this, verse 18. And your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because I am a sovereign God. And that is what I decided to declare, Abraham. Nope. All this stuff that I just said is going to come forth, Abraham. It's going to come forth because you obeyed my voice. You didn't just hear my voice. You obeyed my word that has that power-packed ingredients in it for blessing. You did the word and activated the seed, and things sprung forth from that. Woo-hoo-wee. You know what? And I am getting ready to close here. You know what all three had in common? None of them made sense to the flesh or the mind. Well, the word's a spiritual thing. The word, at times, is going to rub the natural mind and the flesh the wrong way. Why? The Bible says the flesh and the spirit are warring together. The things of the spirit, the Bible says, are foolishness to man. You can't understand the things of God in the flesh. The flesh will kick against it. You can't understand the things of God with the unrenewed mind. The mind will kick against it. You only receive these things by the spirit man. And so all three of them did not make sense to the mind or the flesh. All three of them were not comfortable or easy to do naturally. None of them were. And we see examples of the word going forth. Jonah, go to Nineveh. Well, in that word is what? Power-packed material to bring forth blessing into Jonah's life. What did he do? Didn't go. Hey, rich young ruler, sell everything and follow me. Oh, that word would have produced. And what did he do? I can't do that. Walked away. Had a choice. Jonah, go to Nineveh. Not comfortable. I know, Jonah, but there's a blessing there. Pastor Mike Anderson, go to Rhema Bible Training Center. But I don't have any money, Lord. I don't know anybody in Oklahoma. I have a 1990 Nissan pickup with 200-some thousand miles. I could throw a snowball right through that thing. I did. I threw a snowball right through it. That's how rusted out it was. Right through one side and through the other. Man, it made me look like a superhero. But it wasn't me. It was the truck. That's how bad it was. So much so, I took a 3x5 card, stuck it over the heating gauge on the dash because the truck would overheat at times. And I was like, I can't think about this right now. I just got to get to Oklahoma. And I didn't want to see it. I know that's not wisdom, but it worked for me. So I don't even want to see what that thing's doing because it's talking to me too much. So I'm just going to block that out. It's true. Go to Rhema. Go to Bible school. And oh my gosh, the things that sprung forth. Amen. The seeds God has told me to sow financially that made my mind and eyeball spin. But Lord, I need it for this and I need it for that. The seed of the church is sown. But Lord, we could this and we could that. But when he talks, there's power. And if you'll do it, praise God, it will spring forth some things. And in closing, let me just say this. What about, talking about the word, what are people missing out when they don't avail themselves to a pastor? That's the word of God. That's God telling them. Have a shepherd. Be constantly fed. They're missing out on some springing forth. What about people that will not avail themselves to guest minister meetings? There's things that need to be sprung forth, and some people get some things sprung forth, and some people don't, right? It's the word. Well, it's inconvenient, and it's hard, and it's, I know, but there's blessing. I don't know if it was here, South Dayton, I get it mixed up, that I preached about being willing to be inconvenienced and showing all the times in the Word, the people that got stuff from God, how inconvenient it was to get what they got. I mean, it was completely inconvenient, completely went against their schedule, completely upended their life, uprooted their life, but they did what God said and they were glad they did. What about with our money? I told you three things he tells you to do with your money. Tithe, give offerings, obey the Holy Ghost. Well, people don't do those things because why? Fear sets in, their bills talk to them, their job talks to them, their paycheck talks to them, their flesh talks to them, the devil talks to them, and they believe everybody but God. But God's saying, oh man, he even tells you beforehand what's in the power of the tithe. He says, I'll open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, there won't be room enough to receive it. He says, I'll rebuke the devourer. You won't cast your fruit, won't cast it before time of the field. And all nations of the earth will call you blessed. He already tells you what the seed will do, and people still don't do it. Yeah. What about giving? He already told you what the seed will produce. Come back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Increase, abundance. He already tells us, and people don't do it. What about in Mark 11, 25? He says, if you have aught against anybody, anything against anybody, forgive them. That's the word. For your faith to work, for verse 23 and 24, saying and praying to work, you got to have verse 25 in effect, forgiving. And why don't people forgive? He says to forgive. That word has power to bring forth some things in people's lives, but they don't. Why? Because it's uncomfortable. Because they're stubborn, because they're prideful, right? I mean, that's just why I've never done it. When I've never not forgiven somebody, it's because why? I've been in pride and holding on to grudges and justifying. But there's something he wants to spring forth. What is it? That's a word that's uncomfortable. It doesn't make sense to you, but it's got power in it. Amen. Hallelujah. All these things we can see if we can just get people just to stop questioning the word and just do the word. You remember we ought to all put on our Bibles the Nike swoosh. Just do it. That's what Mary said. She looked at those guys and she said, Nike. That's all she needed to say. Whatever he says, just do it. Whatever he says, Nike. They would have looked at her like, what are you talking about? Well, were you blessed tonight? People want experiences in God. Okay, well, I just gave you two ways that are main ways in your life that you'll start experiencing God. Avail yourself to a shepherd and these ministry gifts and do the word that you hear, and things will change. Amen. Things will change. Father, thank you for the word tonight. We're so blessed, so grateful, and so thankful for the word of God. Where would we be without the word of God? It's the word that has the power. It's the word that can change our lives. Father, I pray that everybody here would get this branded in them, and no matter what's going on in their life, no matter what they're facing, they'd just be doer of the word. And they'd walk into that increase, and they'd walk into that blessing, and they would get on the other side. There's always a blessing on the other side of the obedience to the word. And so, Father, we thank you for those blessings. I thank you people are going to walk into increase here. I just believe we have doers of the word. We have real deal Christians in this building right now. People that are going to be doers of the word, and they're going to watch their situations change. They're going to watch increase come into their lives in Jesus' mighty name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. I want everybody to ask themselves this question tonight. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that question. Because if Jesus tarries and you live out a full life, there will be a day on planet Earth that will be your last. And when that day comes, where would you go? Or where do you think you'd go when that's over? Because that's a reality. Now, when I ask myself that question, I know 100% I'm going to heaven. Oh, and that's a great feeling to have. It's a great thought to be able to rest on at night, to know that I'm going to be in heaven in eternity. I don't have to go to hell. Hell's a real place. But you might say, Pastor, how can I know for sure? I don't really go to church that much. I'm not perfect. I'm ashamed of some things in my past. None of those things can keep you out of heaven. And none of those good things can get you into heaven. If you're here tonight, I want to help you. And if you've never received Jesus, and you can say, Pastor, I don't know that I'd go to heaven, but I want to. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're not going to embarrass anybody. I won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, ask yourself, if today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? If your answer is, I don't know, I think heaven, I'm not sure, I want you to be able to walk out of here tonight knowing that you're going to heaven. God made it so simple and so free for you. He made it so easy. And all he said for you to go to heaven is he said, you must believe in my son and you must receive my son. Jesus said, he that believes on me will not perish, but have everlasting life. If you call on my name, you'll be saved. Notice there's nothing about church attendance. Notice there's nothing about your good deeds outweighing your bad deeds. It has everything to do with what you do with Jesus. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, if you're here tonight, you can say, Pastor, I'm not sure, but I want to be sure. Again, I won't embarrass you. It's between you and God. If you want to receive Jesus tonight and know for sure that you're going to heaven, would you just lift your hand high in the air? Is there anybody that wants to receive the Lord for the first time? Don't let this moment pass you by. Don't let pride get in the way. Don't let feeling embarrassed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody want to receive Jesus before we close tonight? I don't know everybody's background. Anybody at all, raise your hand if you want to receive him. I'll have you put it right down. Anybody? Father, I don't see any hands in here, so I trust that everyone under the sound of my voice is born again, and if they're not, I pray they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Lord. If there's anyone listening right now by live stream or in the future via the archive, I pray that you would not pass from this life till you've accepted Jesus. And the way that you do it, I'll give you the template, the format. You just cry out to him from your heart. And just say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. If you will pray that and mean that, he'll do his end of the bargain. He'll come in, save you, cleanse you, praise God. You become a child of God. And then the next step is find a Bible-teaching church. Plant yourself in that church. Be there as much as you can. And when you hear the word that you hear there, do the word and watch God change your life. That is the formula. That is the recipe. Father, we thank you. Let's stand to our feet tonight before we close. And let's thank him for his word. Let's thank him for his love. Let's thank him that he knows better. Praise God. He knows what we need. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. And thank you for everything we've received tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. We'll see you next Saturday. Yours, I am yours. No.